Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We're here once again to take you on another audio journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. On today's journey, we will start the conclusion covering sections 1 and 2.
Enjoy!
Those who know only magnetism by the little magnetized toy ducks that are made to swim around in a basin of water would find it difficult to understand that this little amusement contains the secret of the mechanism of the universe and of the movement of worlds. The same applies to those who only know spiritism by the entertainment of turning tables. Footnote to the word turning tables. In Kardec's time, the phenomena of table turning was a pastime at social gatherings, comparable to the Ouija board sessions that occur nowadays. They see it as no more than an amusement, a pastime at social gatherings, and they do not understand how such a simple and common phenomena, known to antiquity and even to semi-primitive cultures, could be connected in any way with the most serious problems of the social order. In fact, to the superficial observer, what connection could a turning table have with the morality and future of humankind? And yet, whoever would take the time to reflect will remember that from a simple pot whose lid is lifted by steam, an event that has also occurred since antiquity, emerged the powerful steam engine we use in order to cross space and go great distances. So, likewise, all of you who do not believe in anything beyond the material world should know that from the table turning that elicits your disdainful smiles, an entire science has emerged, as well as the solutions to problems that no philosophy has ever been able to solve. I appeal to all sincere adversaries and ask them to state whether they have done the work of studying what they criticize, because criticism is only valuable when the critic understands the subject. By ridiculing something that we know nothing about, something that we have not probed with the scalpel of the conscientious observer, we are not criticizing, but instead are proving our shallowness and poor judgment ability. Of course, if we had presented this philosophy as being the work of the human mind, it would have encountered less disdain and would have merited the honor of being examined by those who think they guide public opinion. But it has come from the spirits. How absurd! It hardly deserves a glance. They judge it merely by its label, like the monkey in the fable, who judged the nut by its shell. If you wish, set aside this book's origin and imagine that it is the work of a human individual. After having read it seriously, ask your soul and conscience whether you have found material deserving of mockery. Section 2. Spiritism is the most dreaded antagonist of materialism. Thus, it is not surprising that materialists are its adversaries. However, since materialism is a doctrine that is barely accepted by its own proponents, further proof that they do not regard themselves sufficiently strong and that they have not completely taken leave of their conscience, they cover themselves with the mantle of reason and science. And what is even more bizarre is that the most skeptical go so far as to talk in the name of religion, which they also do not know or understand any better than spiritism. Their target is particularly the extraordinary and the supernatural. They reject both. Their argument is that since spiritism is founded on the extraordinary, it can be nothing more than foolish speculation. They do not seem to realize that by rejecting the extraordinary and the supernatural, they also reject religion, which is founded on revelation and miracles. And what is revelation but extra-human communications? All the sacred authors since Moses have spoken of such communications. And what are miracles except extraordinary and supernatural events, par excellence, since in their theological definition, they are derogations from the laws of nature? The fact is that in rejecting the extraordinary and the supernatural, they reject the very basis of religion itself. However, it is not from this aspect that we wish to consider the subject. Spiritism does not have to examine whether or not there are miracles. That is, whether God can, in certain cases, break the eternal laws that govern the universe. In that respect, it leaves everything to freedom of belief. On the contrary, Spiritism states and shows that the phenomena on which it is based are only supernatural in appearance. To certain individuals, such phenomena do not appear natural, because they are unusual and outside the orbit of known events. However, they are no more supernatural than all the other phenomena for which today's science is providing an explanation, and which appeared extraordinary in earlier times. All spirit phenomena, without exception, are consequences of general laws. They have revealed to us one of the forces of nature, an unknown force, or rather one that has not been understood until today, but one that observation has shown to be in the overall scheme of things. Spiritism, therefore, lies less on the extraordinary and supernatural than religion itself does. Those who attack it at this point do not comprehend it, and even if they were highly learned, we would still say to them, if your science, which has taught you so many things, has not shown you that the realm of nature is infinite, you are but half scholars.